Welcome to Today on Broadway for Friday, June 10th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Star's James Marino.
James, it's almost time. We are just 2 days, depending on when you listen to this, away from Broadway's High Holy Day, Tony Sunday, and I couldn't be more excited. To put a little plug in for my day job over at Broadway World, we're going to be doing a lot of cool things, including our first ever all-staff live blog. No matter where we are, whether we're at the Beacon, watching on TV, or backstage in the press room, we're all going to be contributing to this live blog, so check us out at Broadway World on Sunday. But in the meantime, James, everyone who's listening to this needs to check their podcast feeds and listen to the Mammoth 2016 Broadway Radio Tony Awards Omnibus Special that we released yesterday. In this special episode, you and I, James, we chatted with some of the best theater podcasters about this past theater season from the unique perspective of each individual podcast. It was a lot of fun, and I learned a lot. So over the next few days, listeners, check it out and be completely and thoroughly prepared for Sunday's Tony Awards.
All right, let's get on to the news. The front page fills out the newsroom.
They do. We already knew that the upcoming revival of Ben Hecht and Charles MacArthur's dark newspaper comedy The Front Page was going to be special, with the likes of Nathan Lane, John Slattery, John Goodman, Jefferson Mays, Sherry Renee Scott, and Christopher McDonald on board to star. But yesterday we found out that that was just a portion of the show's star power. Joining the cast are legendary Tony winner Robert Morris, Tony nominees Holland Taylor, Dylan Baker, and Micah Scott, and award-winning actress and playwright Hallie Pfeiffer, whose latest play, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Gynecologic Oncology, yada, 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 is currently playing to great reviews off-Broadway. The rest of the show's ensemble was also announced, and the play begins performances on September 20th of 2016 at the Broadhurst, under the direction of three-time Tony winner Jack O'Brien. The Front Page officially opens on October 20th, and a limited engagement runs through February 5th of next year.
So I saw this headline and I went, huh? Nathan Lane joins the National Theater's Angels in America.
What's wrong with that?
Which role is he in?
Well, according to London's Daily Mail, not long after The Front Page closes, Nathan Lane will be heading across the pond to play Roy Cohn in National Theater's production of Angels in America. Lane and the production are said to be close to finalizing a contract for the Broadway legend to join Tony nominee and erstwhile big screen Spider-Man Andrew Garfield, who will be playing Prior Walter. Olivier winner Denise Gruff will play Harper Pitt, and Russell Tovey, who played Rodolfo in the Tony-nominated revival of A View from the Bridge, will be playing Joe Pitt. Performances of the iconic Tony Kushner play are set to begin on April 20th in 2017. James, you know, you mentioned you weren't really sure how Nathan Lane would fit into this show, but a few years ago, he said that he kind of thought that his musical theater career was over and has gone on to do a really wide range of really interesting plays. I mean, before he did Adam's Family, he did The Nance, but he's done a production of an acclaimed production of Iceman Cometh, and now he's doing The Front Page and Angels. It seems like Nathan Lane is kind of having a second chapter to his theatrical career.
I would say third or fourth chapter.
That's true. Fair.
You know, he's just an amazing, amazing talent. It's ironic. I didn't even know that this was happening. I was just talking with somebody else about Nathan's career last night, and I didn't even think about Roy Cohn, because just Roy Cohn was such a hateful, dreadful person. I didn't even think to put Nathan into that type of role, but certainly this is awesome. I'm looking forward to this.
And he was also really fantastic in The People versus O.J. Simpson. So he can play kind of somewhat dislikable characters as well.
So Manhattan Theater Club is going to premiere Penelope Skinner's Linda.
Yeah, the Manhattan Theater Club announced that they would be producing the American premiere of playwright Penelope Skinner's new work, Linda. Skinner is currently represented at MTC off-Broadway with The Ruins of Civilization. In the play, Linda Wilde has it all. She's an award-winning senior executive as well as a busy wife and mother, but when she pitches a revolutionary concept that could change the way the world looks at women of a certain age, she finds herself fighting for her own relevance as every part of her carefully considered life starts to show cracks. The limited engagement begins performances on February 3rd of next year and will open on February 26th. MTC Artistic Director Lynn Meadow will direct the play.
And now we're on to our long-awaited return of the Hamill section.
Yeah, we haven't had one of these in a long time. We've been fairly good with pacing out our Hamill news. But yesterday, we got a decent amount of fairly important stuff out of Hamilton. First, as James, you predicted, the New York Times is reporting that the new 5-month block of tickets that the show opened for American Express pre-purchase is now nearly completely gone, and the only tickets available are the premium seats at the new record-obliterating price of $849. However, the Times is reporting that beginning in January, the number of Ham for Ham lottery tickets will be more than doubling, going from 21 to 46.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, James, this price increase was a hot topic on theater Twitter yesterday, with people coming down very hard on both sides. And honestly, I can say I see both sides of the argument. The appropriately named producer, Jeffrey Seller, told The Times, "What has certainly been frustrating to me as a business owner is to see that my product is being resold at many times its face value and my team isn't sharing in those profits. It's not fair." He went on to explain that the new $849 price was not just an exorbitant random number. He said that he'd looked at the resale markets and found a nice average. "If I'm at $849, I think we may succeed in taking the motivation out of the scalpers to buy those tickets." James, I can understand the production's frustrations, and it's good to hear that they're expanding the lottery and continuing the Edge of Ham performances. But when it comes down to it, you know, you don't need to spin it to make us feel good about it. It's just capitalism. It's just supply and demand, right?
Absolutely. You know, when you buy a widget from Walmart, you know, if you are buying it for $10 at Walmart, the person who made that widget is probably getting in the realm of $1.50 to $2 for the widget. You know, people don't like to think that Broadway tickets are a widget and that there's art involved, and people get very upset, and I'm sure I'm going to get tweets and nasty emails about that statement, but that's the way this works. And, you know, if Hamilton gets its ass kicked because they have $849 tickets, it'll drop down in price, just as Miss Saigon's pricing of $100 tickets back in, you know, the 90s, they got their butt kicked and they came back down to 60. But who knows what's going to happen here?
James, what the hell's a widget?
You know, it's the thing that goes in the doohickey.
Didn't they make those in How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying? Isn't that what they made?
Yes, it was the widgets.
Okay. That's correct. All right. Well, a few other cities are about to have to start worrying about these types of Hamill problems, as yesterday we found out that the show would be opening in the West End's Victoria Palace Theater in October of 2017, after producer Cameron McIntosh spends approximately £30 million to renovate the venue. The show is expected to launch a website and release priority ticketing information on Monday. Back in North America, we learned that the Chicago sit-down production would begin selling tickets on June 21st at 10 a.m. local time for the run that begins on September 27th of this year. There's a maximum purchase limit of 6 tickets per household, and tickets are ranging from $65 to $180 for regular performances, and like in New York, there will be a day-of show drawing for $44 $10 tickets. Finally, in our Hamill section, Canada's Globe and Mail is reporting that Toronto producer David Mirvish is in negotiations to bring Hamilton to the nation's capital city. While no deals have been finalized, discussions have centered on a potential sit-down production led by an all-Canadian cast. So, James, basically, every single person in the world is going to see Hamilton before me.
Yes. We're all lining up.
Yep.
All right. Lin-Manuel Miranda, freestyle Love Supreme coming to CISO.
Do you have any idea what half of those words mean, James?
Lin-Manuel Miranda, love, that's it.
Okay, well, even though I've resigned myself to not sing Hamilton until Sebastian Miranda can actually play Philip Hamilton opposite his dad, perhaps the next best thing is the return of the improv hip-hop musical comedy show Freestyle Love Supreme. The group, which features Lin-Manuel Miranda, Christopher Jackson, Pitch Perfect's Utkarsh Umbedkar, Shockwave Chris Sullivan, and group co-creator Anthony Veneziale, will debut a new show on comedy streaming service CISO beginning on June 23rd. Hamilton director Thomas Kail is the group's other co-creator and will serve as one of the show's executive producers. Previously, the group had a TV show on the Pivot Network in the summer of 2014. We will have a video preview of it in the show notes at Broadway Radio if you want to check it out. It's really, really funny. Imagine Whose Line Is It Anyway? All done to music and hip hop and rap.
All right. Theater stars join PBS as a Capital Fourth.
Yeah, in patriotic news, two-time Tony winner Sutton Foster, the cast of On Your Feet, Glee and Dancing with the Stars champion Amber Riley, who will soon be leading the West End premiere of Dreamgirls, and Allison Porter, the winner of the most recent season of The Voice, who appeared on Broadway in the revival of A Chorus Line, will be a part of PBS's A Capital Fourth on, well, the 4th of July. They will be joined by the evening's host Tom Bergeron, Smokey Robinson, Jackie Evancho, and more. Check your local listings for where and when that special will air.
And She Loves Me, Zachary Levi, is going to host the 2016 Jimmy Awards.
He is. Yesterday it was announced that the Tony-nominated star of She Loves Me, Zachary Levi, will be the host of the 8th annual National High School Musical Theater Awards, a.k.a. the Jimmys, on Monday, June 27th at the Minskoff Theater. The Jimmys brings together 62 high school students from around the country for a week of workshops, classes, performances, and competitions. James, we've talked about the Jimmys before, and in just 7 previous years, they've turned out some performers that have already gone on to make a pretty big splash in the musical theater world.
Absolutely, including one coming up in Saigon that we talked about a few times.
Yep.
What's happening in the recommendation section?
Well, James, I hesitate to mention this because I have a feeling that anybody who's listening to this podcast has already seen, analyzed, like the Zapruder film, this very special video from CBS. It is the cast of Hamilton rehearsing an a cappella version of the song Wait For It, done in 360 video. Now, we've seen a couple other 360 videos with Broadway shows before, but this was really cool because they were performing a cappella and they sounded unflippin' believable. It was very, very cool. And it just so happens, James, that you happen to know the guy who made this video.
So we have a really special guest with us. Andrew Asnes is on the phone with us. Andrew's joined us before on This Week on Broadway a number of years ago to talk with us about Broadway. He's a producer. He is over at Roundtail Entertainment. And his latest project is a little video that hit the internets today and already has over 1 million views, which is the 360 CBS Hamilton Tony Award promo video. I'm not sure what to call it. Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely glad to be here. Thanks, James.
What should we actually call this thing?
It's a 360-degree promotional video for the Tony Awards that CBS and I worked on. CBS Interactive, the division of CBS that promotes all their digital content.
Cool. How did it happen? You know, did they just go to you and say, Andrew, you know, make something cool?
No, actually. So I was introduced to a virtual reality company in January. And when I saw their product and their demo, I just thought, wow, this is amazing. Broadway and theater should be doing something with this. And I knew that School of Rock and The Lion King had done 360s. But the product I was working, company that I was introduced to, has a much different capability and technology. It's called Live Like VR, and they mainly cater to sports, but it's an experience where you can change your point of view at will while you're watching a live sports event. And I thought, wouldn't that be cool if we had that on Broadway? So I initially thought, wouldn't it be great to do it with a show? But there are a lot of challenges in filming shows, and the costs escalate.
Yeah.
So I also thought, well, one show might not get the kind of scale that you want, although a show like Hamilton obviously would. But perhaps one show wasn't the way to go. That is my son. Can you get in bed, please. Pardon the interruption.
That's okay.
So I started thinking, how could we really use this technology to enhance fan experience? And I thought, well, the Tony Awards are coming up. So I contacted Jim Glab over at Sereno Coin, and he does all the digital marketing for the Tony Awards through Sereno Coin. Mm-hmm. And he loved the idea. So I asked him to connect me with CBS, the broadcaster, and he did. And they also loved the idea of doing something in virtual reality to promote the Tonys. And as we discussed the possibilities, they felt that scale was the best way to go. The biggest reach possible is what they wanted. Mm. And today, in virtual reality, that's 360-degree video because it's the most accessible point for the average person to experience virtual reality because the penetration of viewers is so low in the general public. But Facebook and Google, YouTube allow you to experience 360 video on your computer, on your phone, and therefore that seemed to be the best option. And of course, they said to me, well, we want to do Hamilton.
And I thought,
I totally get it, and I agree, and I understand why they want to do Hamilton. And I thought, how are we going to get that done? And they went through the Tony Awards office, which was great, was very helpful, and made a connection with Hamilton and got permission to do it. And everything started to fall into place. We literally got a shoot date maybe a week before the shoot happened. Things were in such flux because, you know, there's such demand on the Hamilton cast.
Yeah.
But we moved forward and kept moving forward. And Hamilton said, we want to do this section of Wait For It a cappella, which is fantastic because it's the only version of the song in that format that exists. There is no other a cappella. So we were very excited about that. And we got to do it on their stage, which, as you know, is extremely unique because the costs of going into a theater on Broadway are very high. So it was really great that we were able to make that work.
So,
and that's kind of the genesis. That's the way it sort of came together.
So Andrew, how does this actually work? Is it one person with like a wearable 360 camera? Is it multiple cameras? When you go in to shoot something like this, obviously the Hamilton cast was in a circle. So how did you film all 360 degrees at one time?
So when you film a 360-degree video, it's multiple cameras. And in our instance, we used a four-camera setup. It was SLR cameras. And once you shoot all the video, then you use software to stitch the four different camera shots together and create this spherical 360-degree visual experience. There's some overlap with each camera, right? So if you think about it as a slice of a pie, each camera is making a big slice of the pie. And then on the edges, the two camera edges overlap slightly. And when they do that, you have the computer goes in and stitches them together, makes them seamless.
Wow.
So that it looks like, you know, so there's no overlap. If you didn't do that, you'd have some very strange splits in people's faces or bodies. It would be very odd. So that's kind of the way it works with the technology. And then in order to view it, you need a player, a video player that can enable you to manipulate your phone through the gyroscope or use your finger or your mouse to move around within that virtual space. And fortunately, Facebook has developed one and YouTube has one. And of course, you can download a bunch of them, New York Times, Discovery. There's many different apps out there that you can use to view more content. But that's basically how it works. There are rigs that are six cameras. There are some major rigs that are 24 cameras.
Wow.
You know, it's early in the technology, and there are a lot of people doing this and learning and exploring. And so, you know, there's really no one set format. But the group I worked with, which is called Concept VR, they have excellent technology. They really have super smart people who know how to execute and manage the data, because when you do four shots, it's 30 frames per second that you're shooting, and we shot 70 seconds or so of the cast. Now, you can't just look at one, you can't just render one take. You render 70 seconds times 30 frames per second times four, and the computer has to render that however many takes you do. Hmm. In order for you to actually decide which is the good one or which is the best one, because they're seamless. They're not, in this instance, you know, we didn't do a shot and then do coverage. We just put the tripod in the center of the group and we shot it four times with different configurations of actors. And the last the last take was the best, and that's the one that we used.
And you had to get out of the way. Because I was looking for you guys in the video.
Right. No, we were all behind walls and off stage, and the crew and anybody involved was in the house behind the curtains. You know, it was sort of like the Wizard of Oz.
So Broadway fans will know Andrew as a producer from Legally Blonde, The Color Purple, 50 Shades, the musical parody, All My Sons, Superior Donuts, and Rated P for Parenthood, which I know that you got to put your kids in bed, so we'll let you run. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us in a quick hit here on Broadway Radio.
Thank you, James and Matt. Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, Matt, get us out of here.
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Some Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And I am James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks so much for spending your week with us. And hey, are you doing anything this Sunday? You know, tweet at us, let us know. We will talk to you on Monday.